with you today, and I'm telling you what, if anything was too hot to handle, it was worship this morning. Now, I know that you weren't here like Candy had mentioned, but I'm telling you what, I was running all over this place, not technically running, but worshiping that way. And here's the deal. I have a very, very difficult time not moving during worship. It's a problem of mine. So I move a lot. And actually it did cross my mind to do laps around the worship center this morning. It crossed my mind. And I thought about it and I'm like, I can't do that. Like everyone, like the worship team is going to be like, what is she doing? She's like literally running laps. So I'm thinking of that. Well, I'll stick to dancing and moving and clapping and some jumping and things like that. And then, I don't know if you guys have an Apple Watch, then my Apple Watch, I look at it, I get a notification and it literally says this to me, my activity app. It says, it appears as though you're working out. Would you like to start an indoor run? I didn't. I figured that would be like sacrilegious or something. So I didn't do it. But yeah, it's been hot in worship this morning. And I hope it was that way for you in your home as well. Have you ever, speaking of hot, have you ever played the game Hot Potato? You know, it's the game where someone throws something your way, whatever item that is. It could be a potato. It could be something else. And you have to toss it aside because it's supposed to be super hot. It can't be handled. Life's topics, hot topics, can be like that. So often we will get something thrown our way only for us to quickly toss it aside because the heat is just too hot. We don't know how to handle it, and we don't want to feel uncomfortable with it. Over the next few weeks, we are going to go there. We're going to handle some difficult topics. Some topics could be on white privilege, hell. Maybe we'll talk about homosexuality, the holiness of God, a few more. You'll see. It's going to be over the next 7 or 8 weeks. But we are going to coat them and cover them in justice, mercy, and humility, which is what the Lord requires of us. So today, I'm going to ease you in a little bit. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But I feel like I'm going to ease you in a little bit with confronting the tolerated violations we hate to love. Those behaviors that we allow inside our Christian communities that we never should. So maybe it'll get a little hot for you. Maybe it'll get a little hot for me. But I feel like you can handle this morning. And you can be called higher into what God has for your life. See, these things that we are doing aren't okay, but yet we're not stopping. We're not talking about them, and we're not concerned enough with the consequences of them. We all know that spiritual death happens one compromise at a time. And the secret compromise that we do leads to public tragedies. I believe that there are overt violations and there are covert violations. Those overt, outright, in your face, I'm doing this and everyone can see it. And then there's the not so visible, the covert, the secretive, the hidden, the behind the scenes behaviors that we do and then we attempt to cover them up. Today, we're going to talk about two of those covert. And then in about 3 weeks or so, I'm going to hit it up with part two, and we're going to handle a couple more dealing with the overt or the open violations. Covert number one, lying. Now, you're like, well, I don't lie. Okay, we'll see after this. You'll know if you do or not. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19 says, here are six things God hates. One more that he loathes with a passion. Eyes that are arrogant, a tongue that lies. Hands that murder the innocent, a heart that hatches evil plots. Feet that race down wicked track, a mouth that lies under oath, and a troublemaker in the family. Of the six things that God hates and seven that it says that he loathes with a passion, lying is mentioned twice. This tells me two things. One, he really has a problem with it. Two, we really have a problem with it. A lie is done with intention. It is a false statement with deception, or it is rooted in a mistaken impression. You make an impression of something and then you lie on basis of that. When our daughter Faith was little, she was a really good storyteller. And one day we had a surprise. It's no accident that our son Josiah right now is a barista at Starbucks, because I feel like we embedded that deep into his soul as a small child. But anyway, we had this surprise. We were going to pick him up from school. Faith wasn't in school yet. She was a toddler. And we were going to surprise him and go to Starbucks for like a Frappuccino or something like that. So I said, Faith, let's not tell Josiah. We're going to keep it a surprise. And we'll just drive up there and he'll be like, where are we going? And we'll be like, oh, you'll see. You know, those fun little things you do when you have little kids. And she's like, okay, mommy. So she sits in the car. So Josiah comes out of school. He gets in. He's excited that his day is over. And we begin to go. And he notices we're going in a different direction. He's like, oh, where are we going? And I'm like, oh, you'll see. And Faith's just like, in the back, trying not to say anything, right? And he's like, but our house isn't right there. Like, where are we going? I'm like, oh, you'll see. And he'll start, he was like, well, could it be? And then Faith says this, well, I tell you where we're not going. We're not going to Starbucks. I'm like, what? That is exactly where we're going. Like, you, what? Anyway, this was Faith, her stories. Five top lies. Which one do you do? Number one, flattery. Flattery. When we don't mean the nice things we say, we are lying. There's a saying that says if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. It's also true if you don't mean the things you say, then don't say anything at all. You can't just say it. Psalm 62, verse 4 says, they delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. You say something nice, but you don't actually mean it on the inside. Number two, innocent lies. Innocent lies are the lies that people tell to be polite, such as, oh, I can't go to your birthday party because I can't find a babysitter. You didn't even try to find a babysitter. You just didn't want to hurt their feelings, so you said that. It's like an innocent lie. Broken promises. Oh, yeah, I know the door is broken. I'm going to fix it on Saturday. Saturday comes and goes. Nothing's fixed. Exaggerations. We mix truths and untruths together and to make stories funnier and more interesting. Your personality type does not give you a pass on this one. How about half-truths? We withhold facts, misleading someone, so that they believe what isn't true and that it better suits our agenda. I have another story of Faith. You guys are going to be like, gosh, what's wrong with Faith? This is when she was little, okay? So it's fine. She was being watched by a good friend of ours, and this friend was putting Faith in her car seat, in the back seat of her car, and they were going to go on a little trip, and just probably around the city. And as she's getting in, Faith doesn't want to be like, buckled in with her seatbelt. So she says to my friend Amanda, she says, Amanda, Daddy never buckles me in the car. And Amanda looks at her like, what? This can't be so. Like he never, like she just like freewheels it. And she's like, it's true. Daddy never buckles me in. So Amanda just kind of buckles her in anyway, because that's what a great babysitter does. And as she's going to get in the driver's seat, she hears Faith say very quietly, because mommy always does. It was a half-truth. She was withholding information that mommy did. And it's true because at that time, Craig drove most of the time, and I would buckle the kids in the car. And it was true, but it was a half-truth, misleading to suit her own agenda. Wow, this kid's smart. I'm glad she grew out of those things, though. We lie so that others will think better of us. We lie to get attention. We lie to get likes or status shares on our social media. We lie to gain followers. We lie to have power in our lives. We lie to escape consequences. We lie to cover. Friedrich Nietzsche said this, "I'm not upset that you lied to me. I'm upset that from now on I can't believe you." Lying has the power to take such a hold on our lives that we cannot find a way out. You become so far inside the lie that you don't even remember the truth, or maybe you've become afraid of the truth. There's been times in our lives that we've counseled couples that are in such deep relational pain because one of them cannot stop lying. He doesn't want to lie anymore, but he's lived that way for so long that he's conditioned it to himself. It's this made-up version of everything that's just easier than the real-life one. See, many people, and maybe you can relate to this, with painful pasts, maybe who grew up in a fearful environment, have guilt over actions, or carry shame, have cultivated this way of living. See, people will lie to hide behind a reality that they are comfortable with. It is scary to leave this life behind. I do understand this, but he is worthy. And you are better than this. You were made for more. The freedom and joy found on the other side of this, in freedom and just an honesty and authenticity with yourself, is worth it. You become brand new. You're no longer a slave to that lie or to the fear of the openness and the vulnerability. Lying, which is covert number one. Covert two. Are you ready for this? Y'all ready for this? Gossiping. Well, then there's that. Proverbs 18, verse 8 says, "Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want that in your belly?" See, I love candy, but not the cheap stuff. Give me the good stuff, the real deal. See, I love open and honest and real talk, but not gossip. I cannot stand talking about people. But there is a struggle in life because everyone loves to be a part of that inner circle. There's something about knowing the secret things that appeal to us. But the problem with that secret insider information is that it often falls into the gossip trap and the idle talk. Lying and gossiping often go hand in hand. If you've ever played that classic game of telephone, you totally get me right now. The message ends with the last person so much different than it began. It's like, really? Like, how did that even happen? There's like three of you. Like, what? Gossip will kill your friendships. Gossip will dissemble your leadership teams. Gossip will hurt your family. Gossip will change you. You will become different. No one likes to find out that they have been the topic, the negative topic of a conversation. Have you ever got a text that wasn't meant for you, but it's about you and it's not good? Wow, that's awkward for you and for them. It's also an awful feeling. This will end on contact. Relationships, authenticity, vulnerability, and a culture of family within our churches. So how do we prevent the gossiping? We'll pay better attention. I'm just kidding. No, stop it. Stop talking about people. Just stop. Stop texting about people. Just stop. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, "Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops." When we stop gossiping, we stop fighting. The friction ends. See, gossip is a magnet for contention in your life. I just wonder how much our emotional well-being would improve if we just stopped talking about people. So the next time you're about to do it, stop. The next time you're about to hear it, walk. Nothing positive can come out of it. It's not funny, and it's not just who some people are. It's a violation of our sonship. It's a problem, and it has consequences. Well, what are some of the ways that you and I gossip? Well, the best one is prayer requests. People will often spread gossip through a prayer request. Now, there might be a prayer request in there somewhere, but it is hard to find with all those details. Slander. Slander is defined as spreading rumors or lies about a person that is to damage them purposely. James 4, verses 11 and 12 says it like this. Don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word. His message is royal rule that takes a beating when you have that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring his message, not writing graffiti all over it. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, a blabbermouth will reveal your secrets. So stay away from people who can't keep their mouths shut. Psalms 101, verse 5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Now that's real right there. This is so prevalent right now. I feel like even more than ever on our social media platforms, all in the name of free speech, religious motives, or I'm just helping people see the light. It's an abomination, actually, and it is destroying us. So stop doing it and stop reading it. When you read it, you engage. When you engage, you give place to it in your life. When you give place to it in your life, you're opening yourself up to maybe believe it. If you start to believe it, there's a good chance you're going to repeat it. Then the gossip has done its job, and the enemy has won that round in your life. Rumors. Another one. You hear something that's not good, but it's not confirmed. But you tell someone or ask someone about it to get more info just to see so they can confirm. And of course, you know, pray. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his lips guards his life. Come on, we want to guard our life. We want to purify our life. We want to stand holy before God. We want to be righteous before him. We want to live out our sonship. We want to live as heaven lives. We want to do good in the earth. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. What about those not really joking jokes? You know, it's taking some part of the truth and then turning it into a joke that makes someone question someone else's character. It also serves as a passive-aggressive way to spread gossip. An example of this would be something like, oh, here's to hoping my kid will actually get off the couch long enough today to get dressed and maybe go outside for a second. You're being funny. Everyone's laughing. You laugh, they laugh. You're like, oh, just kidding. But really, the message you've just portrayed is that my child is lazy, and I wish, and I'm embarrassed, and I'm annoyed. I don't see how anything good can come from this. Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no unwholesome talk or word ever come out of your mouth. Wow. But only, it even gets better, such words as is good for edification, which is building up people, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace or a blessing to those who hear it. Now, what's the need of the moment? Say that. Say that. Give grace. Don't deface. This is a high standard, but it is the standard. So reach it. We have a righteous responsibility to live above reproach, and this is easy and this is hard. But either way, it's the example, and it is required and expected of us. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3 says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blaze the way, all these veterans cheering us on, this whole council of people saying, you can do it, you got this, come on now. It means we better get with it. We have a righteous responsibility to live above reproach. And then the verse says, so strip down and start running. Maybe that workout app is starting on your phone. I see your workout. Would you like to start an indoor run? I feel like that's Holy Spirit this morning. I see that you're being prompted towards something. Strip down and start running. And the verse says, and never quit. It says, no extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. He already did it, guys. Study how he did it. He is the perfect example because it says he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. So when you find yourself flagging in your faith, the message says, go over that story of Jesus again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through for you. That will shoot adrenaline in your souls. This, my friends, is the Jesus way. This is what is expected of us. He was 100% authentic, 100% wholesome in everything he did. See, the hidden things you violate, you will never dominate. Let me say that again. The hidden things you violate, you will never dominate. So stop the lying. Let's hush the gossip. Expose ourselves by telling someone, bring it out in the open, strip down, start running. And that is where I end today. God bless you, family. Father, I just pray a special blessing over my Crosspoint family and those who are listening even from far away, that they would feel a conviction towards righteousness today, to stop these covert, these hidden violations that keep us from you, because you are worthy of it all. And a life is worth laying down to live it well for you. So I pray that you give them the courage, the stamina, and the endurance to run their race well. In your name, Father, and for your glory, always for your glory. Amen. God bless you, family, and have a great day.